kind of went off the edges, like slightly.
Okay, so now we have an idea of how this one works.
Yeah.
Okay, so did anybody... So I'm going to just, to give an idea of what this one is, put a penny right here and right here. But yeah, so here we have sort of two different ways of putting pennies on the paper. Did anybody do anything different from these two? Just, I want to know if you did. Yeah, what'd you guys do?
We didn't really do anything different from that one, except we were assuming we couldn't go off the edge.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about going off the edge later, but let's not worry about that right now. But yes, I mean, maybe the original premise of the question was don't go off the edge. Okay. So, actually, I just want to see a show of hands. How many packed them this way? Okay, how many packed them this way? How many tried both? Yeah, okay. Cool. Yeah, so these are definitely two different ways to pack pennies. And there are a couple questions on... So from now on, we're going to start calling this... So actually, I'm going to just like say a couple things, and then we'll go back to working on some activities. But I want you to imagine that you, in both of these packings, you put a dot right at the center of each penny. And if you sort of started connecting the dots of the pennies that were next to each other, on this one, you'd get something that kind of that was a square, you know, a bunch of squares. And on this one, you'd get something that was a bunch of triangles. And because of that, we're going to name these. We're going to call this the square packing. And we're going to call this the triangle packing. So there are some questions on the worksheet about the square packing and the triangle packing. And I want you to take a minute to think about those for a bit. So I think one of them is how many nearest neighbors. So we're going to call pennies nearest neighbors if they touch in the packing. So this penny and this penny are nearest neighbors. And this penny and this penny are nearest neighbors. But, you know, this penny and this penny are not nearest neighbors. So there's a question, I think, that says how many nearest neighbors does each penny have? So these should be, you know, you can look at your packing and count them. Or you may not even need to look at the packing to tell. But try to answer the questions about nearest neighbors now if you haven't already. Also, it doesn't say this on the sheet, but try drawing the dots at the centers. See what that looks like. Do you need a worksheet or do you have a question? You need a worksheet? Erin's got the worksheets. She's in the back. Oh yeah, it's the right. And I should say there's a question on the sheet about area. We're going to say that for our purposes, the diameter of a penny diameter is about 3/4 of an inch. So we're going to just use that as the diameter of a penny for computing the area. Yeah, so problem 3 is about area. If you're done looking at nearest neighbors, you can start thinking about area and density. So you can just, yeah, right. 3/4 of an inch. And the paper is a quarter sheet of paper, so it's a quarter of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And that's in inches also.
Yeah.
How's it going back here? Yeah. If you would come up and put that picture up at some point, that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the area of one of these little things.
Right.
And I also got the ratio, which is this.
Cool.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. This picture is hiding in your picture. Hi. How's it going? That's good.
But it's either something like this.
The diameter is 3/4 of an inch. Then.
These talks are always better when the video is boring.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that.
Mumbling, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because it means I'm not talking. Oh, yeah, it's videotaped. Because I'm not talking and they're talking. How's it going?
What is the distance between the center and the center of the other one?
Yeah.
Is it like, do you see like the distance between it?
Yeah, they're touching in the packing, right?
Yeah.
So what's the distance between the center of this penny and the center of this penny? Yeah. That's sort of the question. And then the other question is, you know, so first of all, where's the nearest penny that it's not, or what's a nearby penny that it's not touching? Well, it should be touching that one because it's a square packing, right? And these should all sort of.
These are Taiwan inches.
Right, so it's touching these ones.
Yeah.
But what are some other nearby pennies that it's not touching? Yeah, like the one on the corner here, right?
Yeah.
So these two are not touching in the packing. So what's the distance between the center of this penny and the center of this penny? I don't know. Try figuring it out. That distance? You can, but you can also try to compute it. So, how would you? You can use a ruler, but it won't necessarily be so precise. And also, actually, I don't think we have rulers. Yeah, but this, right, this is the diameter, right? So how do you find this length if you know this length and this length? Do you know the Pythagorean theorem? Yeah, okay.
Picking up integrals that would bubble, but in fact are very, very simple.
Okay, so each one of these things right here.
How's it going?
Good.
That's good. What do you got? I'm trying to figure out this.
We're trying to figure out this one. But what we did here didn't seem right because we found the area of the tiny 5.35 times pi. That's the area of the tiny, and then we...
Wait, so what's the area? What's the formula for the area?
It's 2 diameter times pi.
2 pi over...
No, it's not. Oh,
that's
we didn't
so
learn that yet.
Oh, isn't it like 2 pi r squared? Or pi r squared?
Yeah.
Pi r squared.
That's okay, though. But then if you use pi r squared, what happens next?
You multiply it by 35.
Right.
And then put it over...
You put it over 23.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
Figuring out how to get 53 on there.
Oh, okay. They're hanging off the edge, though. That's okay, though. We'll talk about that later.
She figured it out.
So if it's hanging off the edge...
Oh. So you just rotated your packing. Edge, did you guys compute the densities?
He's doing that.
No, but if the pins are going over the edge, mm-hmm. how can you calculate what's...
Yeah, so then that's kind of a problem, right? Because, yeah. So
as long as more than half is on there, it counts.
Well, it depends what you decide counts. But I think the last problem here is about... Right, so if you guys want to think about this, the last problem here, problem 4, or maybe it's problem 5. Oh, problem 5, right? It says, you know, imagine that your paper is infinite, right? Then there is no edge to fall off of. But you can still kind of talk about the density. So if you want to start thinking about that, that's sort of my best answer to the falling off the edge question. Like, pretend there is no edge and your paper goes on forever. Define win. How's it going?
Good.
It's good.
Good. Did you guys compute the density? Did you do the infinite plane one?
Yep.
Cool.
Infinity over infinity, one.
Well, that's one way to think about it, but there are other ways to think about it. We'll talk about that. Also, infinity over infinity is not always one. Infinity over infinity is not always one.
Infinity is not a constant, right?
Well, it's not really a number.
The only thing I can think of, or something over itself isn't one, apart from 0 over 0.
What's 0 over 0?
We can't tell. We don't know.
Yes. But in the case of this question, we're sort of talking sort of more geometrically. So we're not actually, I think, dealing with different size of infinities so much as... sort of different rates of growth, maybe. Not even really that. I don't know. You can still sort of figure out what proportion of the area is covered. Which ones have you guys worked out? Did you guys do the density?
No.
Do that one.
I guess in finding the density, that's where if your pennies are hanging out, it's creating a problem because like they got the area covered by the pennies to be greater than the area of the square.
Right. That will happen if your pennies are hanging off the edge, yeah. That's okay. We're going to talk about the infinite version.
Can you find the area of a circle?
Mm-hmm.
How do you find it?
Pi r squared. R is the radius.
Wait,
so pi times the radius squared. Yeah.
Should I get calculators for them?
I didn't even remember that they might need them. A lot of them have them on their phones, but yeah, maybe not everybody does. Yeah, sorry about that. I totally forgot that we might need them.
One picture down there, we have computing scalings of numbers nearest neighbors as you increase.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
How many?
So I just want to see a show of hands of how everyone's doing. Who's computed the density of on the small square? Like, do raise your hands if you've done it, because I want to know how soon we should be back as a group. Okay, so some people. Who's still working on computing the density? Okay, cool. We'll do that a bit more, for a bit more time. But if you're done with computing the density on the small square, just, like, go on to the next few problems and see what you think. Hey. Hands up.
How are you doing?
Got it. Cool. You guys have calculators, right? Or Aaron's getting you some. I don't know. If you don't necessarily need one, but if you want one for computing the density, I think Aaron's getting some. You guys moved on to sphere packing.
Well, I just kind of looking ahead.
Got it. That's okay.
You just talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ethan, what do you think this percentage we got? How much percentage do we cover with the triangle packing?
Okay. I didn't compute the decimal. I just wrote it in the. It's like pi over square root of 12 or something.
Yeah, that would be.
But yeah. But yeah, that's probably about right. Good. So I think what he's working on, if you want, it's another problem that's not on the sheet, is we've computed, you know, the number of nearest neighbors that one penny has. So how many nearest neighbors of nearest neighbors will there be? And can you come up with a rule for how that increases as you go out? Yeah, how many nearest neighbors are, or how many are nearest neighbors of nearest neighbors?
So the diameter is 0.75 inches.
Well, you can just think about it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
How's it going?
We figured out the density.
Cool. The density on the square?
Yeah.
Did you think about how it would be if you have an infinite plane?
You what?
So the next problem. Oh, yeah, problem 4. Oh, I see. So there's another question about nearest neighbors. And then, but yeah, so imagine that your square suddenly had no edges and it just went on forever. How would you go about trying to compute the density? Could you even do that? They can just keep going. I guess stop before sphere packing, but 4 and 5 are fair game.
What do you get?
22.375, right? Square inch. Now, top one, area of all the covered pennies. First of all, what do you need to know? Again, break this down. Number of pennies do you have is how many?
What?
How many pennies do you have? Now figure out the area of just one pen. How do you figure that?
Pi
r square, right? What was r given to you as?
Okay, so first of all, which one do you think will be higher percentage?
No.
This is some...
I'm trying to get a sense, Aaron, of when they're mostly... I want to get a sense of when they're mostly done so we can come back and talk about it.
Do you mind if I put you guys for...
Yeah.
What did you say about it? Explain what you were saying.
Well, like here, the six newest neighbors of this one, and the newest neighbor of this one has six.
Right.
So six of each one of these, that'd be 36. So six times six plus 36.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. But here's something to think about now when you do it that way, is this penny has a nearest neighbor here, but this penny also has a nearest neighbor here. So how many times do we count that penny?
So each one counts.
Well, so actually, maybe the question as I posed it was not necessarily perfectly well formed, right? Because maybe you want to know, should I only count, you know, so you count the six nearest neighbors of that. That's pretty well formed. But then if you're counting the nearest neighbors of all of these, do you want to count all the ones you counted before or like only the new nearest neighbors? Well, maybe you want to count all of them. So, okay, if you want to count all the nearest neighbors of this and all the nearest neighbors of this, how many are they going to have in common? And so how many? And so one thing to think about is how many times do you count each nearest neighbor of a nearest neighbor?
It's like this one has all six of these.
Yeah.
These three.
Right. And how many times do those three get counted?
Each time they'll count one of these.
Well, it might help to focus on each one separately. So, like, how many times is this one that you started with going to get counted?
So, this one?
Yeah.
Six.
Right, so it's going to get counted for each one. So this is going to get counted six times.
Oh, okay.
But maybe these ones are each going to get counted like, well, you can figure out. Maybe this one's going to get counted for this one and for this one, but not for any others. Maybe it only gets counted twice. So 36 is a good upper bound, right? It certainly is not going to be more than 36. But it's probably going to be less. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Since it asks you to find the distance between the center of one coin and the center of the closest one that it's not touching,
yeah,
in the triangle formation, that would be, wouldn't that be? So if that were the original penny, this would be the closest one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did some stuff. So since the interior angle of a hexagon, interior angles of hexagon are 60 degrees, you can use that to find the distance, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is the distance. Is that?
I don't actually. I mean, I don't know the number in terms of the decimal, but the method you described to me sounds like something that works.
So he took, you know, six, since yeah, it's 60, mm-hmm, it's half penny each, you go half penny, that's 30 degrees.
Right.
So just use, you know, that, tangent of that, and then...
Yeah. Yeah. That's the right idea. I don't figure things in terms of decimals, so, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just trying to get the
cool, yeah,
actual concept right.
Mm-hmm.
Not
turning on... Yeah, so it's actually an interesting question. These are, so I guess I didn't say this particular phrase, but these are both, when I was saying this thing about the draw the dots where the centers are, this is an example of what's called a lattice packing, which means that if you draw the dots at the centers, you get something that's called a lattice, which is a very symmetric object. And a problem, a question that a lot of people try to answer about lattices is what are the all the distances in a lattice to all of the points? So what you've just answered is what are the shortest distances in this lattice, and what are the second shortest distances? And you can go on and on, right? But maybe you find a pattern, and then you don't need to go on and on. So those are all questions to think about with lattices.
So is that what you would use to figure out? What was the question originally? Something about an infinite plane.
Yeah, you can use some ideas from the lattices and sort of the area of what's called a fundamental domain for the lattice. Yeah. So there's a notion of a fundamental domain for a lattice, which, I mean, these are leading words, right? For the square packing, the square is the fundamental domain, and for the triangle packing, the triangle is the fundamental domain.
You can also look at it as a hexagon.
Yeah.
A triangle.
That's true. Yes.
Does that make a difference?
No.
Is that just a...
You'll get the same proportion. Because you can build the hexagon out of the triangles, right? Yeah. So the hexagon is a different fundamental domain. Usually when you're talking about this stuff, you talk about the smallest fundamental domain, which in this case is the triangle. But the hexagon is also one. Yeah. Yeah. Extra paper. How's it going?
We don't know about the infinite plane.
That's okay. We'll talk about it in a minute. I'm trying to get a sense of when everyone's ready to come back together.
Count the middle. No counties.
Hi. How's it going?
We're on number 4. We're just playing around. Are we supposed to finish the whole thing right now?
Oh, don't go on to the sphere packing part. But yeah, I mean, you don't have to finish the whole thing, but all of the circle packing problems, yeah, work on them if you feel like it.
Okay.
We'll talk about sphere packing in a few minutes.
Well, all the diagonals are the same, all the sides are the same, but the diagonals are
different. Do you think we're mostly, Aaron, do you think people mostly have computed the density?
I'm not, it looks like it.
Okay, I think we should come back and... Okay, so let's come back together real quick before we go back to working on problems. Who computed the density? Raise your hand. And do actually raise your hand. Yeah, okay. Which one is denser? You want to say it in unison? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Triangle's denser. Yeah, that, I guess you can sort of look at it and see. So did anybody think about this question of what happens if your paper doesn't have edges and you have an infinite plane and infinitely many pennies? How would you compute the density of that? Right, because here on our square, I mean, I know some groups encountered this problem of their pennies were falling off the edge, or sort of what do you do here? There's this little extra space where you would put a penny if you had sort of more paper, but so maybe if you had different size squares, different size paper, your density would be different, and you kind of don't want that to happen, right? It would be nice to be able to say the density of the square packing is this, regardless of the paper that I'm working on. So, whatever piece of paper I've got here. So did anybody come up with an idea for how to compute the density in the infinite plane? How many people? I just want to see a show of hands. I've got one person back there. Yeah. Do you want to come up and tell us?
Well, I just was trying to, for the triangle packing, I drew a dot in the middle of the penny.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here's sort of an idea, right? You have you drew a dot in the center of each penny, and you drew a bunch of triangles, and you can sort of, right now we're just drawing the triangles without the pennies. And actually, yeah, I saw someone down in front had a picture of this going on. Here's just some triangles together, and then what do you do? Actually, if you want to come put your whoever it was down in front here. I think you said your names were both Sean, but I don't remember which of you I talked to. One of you drew a picture in your notebook. Do you want to come put it on the dot cam? So I don't have to draw it. Yeah, let's look at the picture that yeah, so we've got something kind of like a that's okay. Let's just look at this picture. So you can and look at it along with the picture that was described by sorry, what's your name who got me the other picture in the back?
Jong-Wa.
Yeah, let's look at it next to this picture that Jong-Wa described. So we've got, you know, you draw the dots at the center of each penny. And then you can sort of draw the pennies on top of that, right? And so then what happens? What can we do with this sort of picture? What's the proportion of area covered by pennies in this picture? Yeah. Okay.
That's the area. Of the
so you can sort of
space,
yeah.
Like we're trying to use empty spaces. Not that. This.
Okay. Well, let's yeah, I guess we'll keep your picture up for a second, start writing some things, unless you want to take it back. Oh, yeah, take your notebook back then. Okay, so let's just try to imitate that picture. Thanks very much. So here there were something like, well, I'm only going to draw a little piece of it, but there was this triangle here, right? Let's just focus on this triangle here. And there were 3/3 of a penny in there, right? 3/3 of a penny. So that's equal to one penny of area. And then what's the area of a triangle? So we have to figure out like how much of the triangle gets covered, right? So I know I said that the diameter of a penny is 0.75, but we're going to just call that R for now, right? We said R is 0.75 inches. Okay, so how do we do this calculation? What is one penny of area? Can I? Yeah.
1.5 pi.
Right, okay. So 1.5 pi. That's 0.75 squared times... squared times pi. Okay, so that's the area of one penny. Now, what's the area? Yeah.
That was the diameter, right?
Yeah, oh, that's right. Well, so I should do half of that, sorry. Well, I'm bad at doing math with fractions, so I'm just going to write it as 3/8 squared pi. Right. So then what about the triangle? How do we compute the area of the triangle? That I've got here. Yeah, in green. Right, so what is the length of the base? So triangle. Base times height. So then how big is the base?
Over 2.
Oh yeah, over 2. What's the base of the triangle? Can I get somebody else? Yeah. What? Right, it's the distance between the two centers, right? Which is the diameter of the penny, as most of you figured out. Base is equal to R. And what about the height? The height may have been the one tricky piece, but I guess those of you who've done your 30-60-90 triangles probably know it. Yeah. Yeah. So for height, we have a suggestion to use Pythagorean theorem. So to take this triangle, let's take this triangle out of the picture and put it over here for a moment. And we've already said that this base is going to be R. Oh, yeah, sorry. This base is R. So is this base, R. And so then this little piece must be R over 2. So your suggestion to use the Pythagorean theorem. So then we're trying to find this height. So height squared plus R over 2 squared is going to be R squared. And if you solve that, solve for H. Well, if you solve that for H, you can work it out, but you'll get root 3 over 2 times R. So you can use that to compute the area of the triangle. So now you have a formula. You can put this all together. So we've got the triangle area is equal to R times square root of 3 times R over 2. Let's put this in parentheses. And that whole thing times a half. So you can compute the area of the triangle. So you can find the proportion of the triangle that's covered by pennies. And then because you can fit all these triangles together, you can sort of figure out the proportion of the whole area. Oh, that's right. That's half a penny. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mixed that up too. Yes, three sixths of a penny. So yes, I was.
Tried to compute it with a whole penny.
Equals one half penny. Yes, then you get more pennies covering the plane than 100%. Yeah. Okay. So that's my mistake. But the point, you can use this idea of covering the whole plane with triangles. Well, we still got time in the first hour, or is it now time for a break? I was going to start talking about... So the next thing I was going to talk about was sphere packings, and I really wanted to get this in before the break, because we have a bunch of oranges that you all can eat and play with during the break to pack spheres. So I'm going to just say a couple of things real quick about sphere packings, and we're going to play with our food. You might notice, like, when you go to the grocery store that the oranges are stacked in this very nice way. And I was doing some reading about this on the internet, and apparently, I mean, people have sort of always known this, right? Because if you sort of throw a bunch of spheres in a box or something, they sort of naturally fall into place. But I think back in the 1500s, in the 1580s, when Sir Walter Raleigh wanted to stack cannonballs on his ship, he wanted to know if he had the best way to stack cannonballs on his ship so that he could carry a lot of cannonballs with him. And so he asked his friend, who I think his name was Thomas Harriot, I didn't know any of these guys before I looked this up, but to try to figure out the best way to stack cannonballs on the ship. And he came up with this, you know, this stacking. I mean, he didn't come up with it, right? It existed before him. It's always been there. This way of stacking, you know, the way you see your oranges in the grocery store in this nice pyramid shape. So mostly, you probably have noticed that this cannonball stacking starts with a very familiar, you know, triangle packing that we've just been playing with the pennies. The bottom layer of oranges, the oranges are packed in a triangle packing, just like what we've been playing with. And then as you sort of, you know, put more oranges into the stack, they fall into the gaps in much the same way as, you know, as the triangle packing. So you have your three oranges here, and the next one just sort of fits really nicely up there. So, and you sort of pack them in layers, and each layer kind of looks like another triangle packing. So on the sheet, you'll see that the first question is something like, how many ways are there to stack oranges in this way where each layer is a new triangle packing? And, you know, it should probably seem not too far-fetched to you at this point after playing with pennies for an hour that there's only one triangle packing of circles in the plane, right? There's sort of only one way to do that. So why would I be asking you how many different triangle packings are there of spheres? Isn't that, you know, is there only one? And what are different ways of packing spheres? So maybe as you take a break, and, you know, feel free to eat the oranges as well since they're snacks for you, but you can also come up and start playing with these spheres, and I have some other spheres to play with as well, and start trying to investigate the question of, why did I ask that? And how could there possibly be different ways, you know, more than one way to pack spheres. So I think we'll take a break now, and during the break, you should play with the oranges. Thanks. Yeah.
Tell me cool things about oranges.
Okay, let me get my jar lids. Can I take off the microphone during the break?
Yeah,
that'd
be fine.
Okay. Oh, if the camera's off, I don't care if I'm wearing the microphone then.
Hard to see the one that's below.
The tricky part that I couldn't figure out is seeing the one below.
Yeah. So you can't really tell whether it's right above or...
Okay.
You want me to join a show?
Oh, yeah. I think... Sure.
You could just like not say anything.
No, no. I think I'm going to say... We're going to start back up again.
Hey, everybody! The math circle is...
Officially starting again.
Officially off of break time.
But yeah.
Competing and stuff.
So I think... I think what we're going to do is a little, maybe a little different than what I had planned, but I think we should talk about these sphere packing things. So on your sheet, it starts with some questions about sphere packing, and I really only have sort of one set of each of these. So I've got one set of oranges, one set of these other balls. I've got some hair ties that are useful for talking about some of this stuff. And actually, I think you can even continue to use the pennies. So I'm going to start by demonstrating one thing, and then we'll sort of break out and work with some of these things again. And you can all rotate around if you want to come up and play with the oranges, but you know, you can take turns and move around the room as we do this, and we'll see how that goes and if that works. So I'm going to just start by sort of setting up the whole scenario, and then we'll go from there. So the idea, I think most of these sphere packing problems on your sheet start by saying, you know, imagine you start with a box of oranges, and the bottom layer is, and you have the bottom layer already, and it's a triangle packing, just like we were talking about before with the pennies. So you can also make this up by doing, you know, making a layer of triangle packed pennies. And then as you add oranges to your box, so you want to make a sphere packing in which every layer is another triangle packing. So the next layer of spheres might sort of sit right here on top of your previous spheres, or you know, if it's hard to see with the hair ties, you can come try and do it with the oranges. And then the third layer is also going to be another triangle packing. And so the first question on there is, how many ways are there to put in the second layer and the third layer if you start with the first layer? So that's the first thing to start thinking about with these sphere packing. So you can do what I did with the hair ties with your pennies, but I think it would be great if some of you would come and do it with the oranges, and if you'd all take turns doing this with the oranges as well. So let's do that for a bit. Yeah. So there's these balls and these balls that you can play with here.
Yeah, you don't look. These balls are so cool.
I'm pretty sure if the first layer is set, I think there's only one way.
Or if you don't put them.
I know. Yeah.
Does that seem to how many ways, but does that depend on how big your base is?
Probably. I don't know about that.
Oh.
Yeah, be careful with them and don't pull the needle out of that one because I'm not finished with it yet. Yes.
Are you going to sell them?
No.
They fit in, so they fit in the center point of three dots or circles. So there's only one way the person is.
Yeah, you can put them in here. If they might, you have a smaller base, but they won't roll around. Yeah, you should come work with the actual spheres too. Yeah. So what happens here when you? Oops. Yeah, I'll come and look at these.
So you need
here, come join
three,
us with this.
Three dots. So center of three dots or three centers of a sphere can make one. So if the base is set, there's only one way to build a rest.
Okay, so let's explore that for a bit. So we've got let's start building from the base, right? We've got this base. And then you put the second layer on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you put it in some of these holes, right?
There's an idea to experiment with.
Yeah.
It makes a triangle lattice vertically, too.
Yeah, it does. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now what happens with the next layer? Where can the next layer go?
In the center of this.
It has to go, so it can go in those three. Now, do you notice anything about where we put them? Yeah, it could also go there, right? If it goes there, it can't go here, right? They can't go there. So what's the difference between those two ways of doing it?
You can either get a third layer, a fourth layer off, or you can just have three.
Well, if you had a bigger base, do you think you could get a fourth layer anyway?
Yeah.
Yes. Right, if you had a bigger base, you'd still... So it's true that it sort of gets smaller as you go up.
But if there's box around it, you can just put it in here and use a box as the third one.
Yeah. You can do
less
something
cheating.
Like that. But let's look at...
It says there's a box, so...
Let's look at what happens with the third layer, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you put the third layer on, what happens if you put it here? How does that relate to the first layer, maybe?
It makes a triangle on the side.
Makes a triangle on the side, that's true. So we sort of said you can either put them there, or you can put one here, right? These are our two options.
Wait, couldn't you also do the same over here?
If you put it here, it makes a triangle. It's in between the first layer.
Wait, can't you do it here, too?
It's in line with the first layer.
Yeah. Right, so you can put them in the other holes on that layer, too.
And then one in the middle, and then there.
So there seem to be a couple different ways to do it, right? Isn't that a little strange?
Yep.
Oh, so it just depends on if it's in like the line with
just
the previous base. Or
yeah.
Base. We have like
it also makes the triangle
no base.
Yeah.
Just make it outer edge and see if we can build up a pyramid.
Here, you can
without having anything inside.
Well, so I think try to sort of get a handle on what's different about the different ways to put the balls in.
Yeah,
see if you can figure out what's different about them.
If you do it like,
do you mind if we grab some more of these? In?
Yeah, why don't you take some of these oranges here? In fact, here.
If it is the other way, they're not in line with the previous base.
Okay,
so you can fit more. So if it's not in line. Vertically or horizontally, you can fit more. If you're not, it makes triangle.
Yeah.
Here, let's take some of these over here too.
So.
And I've also got these. Also, maybe work at the base as the base or something.
Here's a small
bit.
Here, Aaron.
Yeah. Triangle.
See if these help holding them in place.
Okay. Oh. You can use these to help. Like,
oh yeah.
Help stabilize the base.
Why don't they like it? What's the problem here? Why doesn't this one?
See, you can fit more because they make triangle
yes.
too. But if they're in line, then you're not able to make as much. You're not able to fit as much because they're in line.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, if they're in line, you can't fit as much.
You can't put a sphere on top of a sphere without it rolling off.
Yes, so that's a good observation, right? That's sort of like, well, that's sort of saying. So let's try to use this terminology. When you put the next layer on, right? They sort of naturally want to sit in the holes in the triangle packing, right? You can't put it directly on top.
Yes, because the holes provide better support.
Right. So no matter what, in order to get your next triangle packing, you're going to be putting them in the holes. So which holes do they go in? I mean, do they go in all the holes?
They go in the holes created by...
Nope.
What?
Because look. Okay, so take this little part for a second. You can put one here, here, and here. But then what about this hole in the middle? Then you can either just do that, and then no other ball can fit in any of the holes.
Mm-hmm. Checkmate.
So you can only... Right, so you can either put them sort of in this set of holes or in the other set of holes, right? It's kind of like there's two sets of holes.
So you can't put them
don't
in an adjacent hole.
Do that. Do them, though. Yeah. Right. So if you put it in one of the holes, you can't really put it in the hole right next to it. Yeah. So now let's look at the third layer. What happens when you're trying to put the third layer on? What are you going to have to do? Well, you're out of balls. Yeah.
Here, just take...
Now we have extra balls.
So you're putting them in holes again, right?
Yeah.
Now what are the two sets of holes?
If there's another one, but
it's the answer, Emily. It seems to me like if you're having to fill a box or a container, then square stack would be.
Here, why don't you come around this side? There's they can make some room.
I think. Yeah. We can use.
So what are the two sets of holes in the third layer? So, do you want to? Sorry, what's your name?
Emily.
Yeah, does anyone want to recap what we've already talked about for Emily? Just to get everyone on the same page.
Okay. So,
do we want the bases here or no?
Yeah. Sure. We can start with the first layer. So if. So let's say we have the first layer right here. And we're trying to find out different ways of stacking the second layer. So there's two ways actually. So you can put it in certain holes. So yeah, like that. So if they're in line with the first base, then yeah, you can keep going,
and then that'd be it.
Yeah, that'd be it. Mm-hmm. And there's another way, which you can just. You can make triangle. So if they're not in line, the first base, then you can fit more spheres in. So yeah, that's.
And then if we add more balls, we can just put them again on the same instead of just putting a couple right there.
Right. So let's. I mean, it may not be entirely clear because we had to sort of come up with this definition. What do we mean by the holes?
The spaces.
Yeah.
Points where there are no spheres.
Right. And actually, that's a technical term. People call them deep holes and lattices. But sort of here, when you've got your base triangle packing, right? You started with a triangle packing, and you sort of see that when you just drop a ball anywhere. Well, sometimes it rolls off, but sometimes it sort of falls into place. When it falls into place, it's sort of in the holes in the lattice, right? So those are that's where the balls can sit, is in the holes. So you can, and you know, and one thing that we've, one of the first things we noticed here is that if it's in this hole, and I try to put a ball in this hole, it doesn't fit, right? These holes are too close. So if you put a ball in one hole, it sort of tells you that which half of the holes you're going to be using. Yeah? So when we put on the first layer, there's sort of two choices for which holes we can put them in. And the same goes for the third layer, right? I can either put them in this hole, or I can put them in this hole. So at each layer, there's two choices.
Wait, two choices again?
Yeah. So here on the first layer, if you...
Do you guys see?
Yeah. Maybe some of the guys who've been in front, you can let some new people come forward. Yeah. So we've sort of got... You can put one in this hole, and if I put one here, this hole here is kind of too close to put another ball.
But then you can't fit one in there.
So this hole gets missed, right?
And that's why the second layer would put it on top.
Yeah, well, actually, so the second layer, there's still two choices, right? You can either put them in the things that were the holes we missed in the first layer, or you can just put them, sort of directly above the first layer, right? So our two choices are to sort of fill the holes we missed when we put the second layer on the first, or to put it right back where the first one was. So maybe try to play with those for a bit and see what the difference is.
Do you have any more balls?
Unfortunately not. I have the oranges so cool. and the tamari balls over here, but this is all I've got. Yeah.
You should sell these.
Well, I'm not the only person who makes them, and other people are better at it than I am. We can talk about it after we start talk about stacking them. Yeah, styrofoam in the middle.
I love this one.
Just like I'll buy them from you.
That's okay.
Make money.
But yeah, let's see if you can get at the difference between the two different sets of holes. And feel free to come forward and play with them. I'll get out of the way. Go ahead and go forward.
What
Yeah, so you guys are doing it with pennies instead of with the balls?
Yeah.
So did you notice the difference with the different ways to put the layers on?
So there are two ways to put it, to put the second layer on top of the first layer.
Yeah, and then for the third layer, you can either do same as the first or the other one, right? Yeah. So then how many, if you were stacking infinitely many layers, how many different stackings could you come up with?
Since there are two ways to put each layer on top of the other layer, that means the amount of combinations given the amount of layers would be 2 to the nth power, right? Or
because 2 to the nth power.
Because since if you
have... Oh, n being the number of layers.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so... So since the more layers you have, the more combinations you have.
So. Right. So if you were stacking infinitely many layers, you could just have infinitely many... Yeah. It's kind of crazy, right? Because there's only one way to do it in the plane with circles. But when you move to spheres, suddenly there's infinitely many ways. So did you go on to the next one of trying to count how many neighbors they have?
Yeah, we don't know what FCC.
Oh, FCC, right, okay. Yes, I didn't say that. So I'm going to say this once we come back together as a group. But FCC means that you do, that your layers alternate. So you, I think, so you do the first layer and then second layer is different and the third layer is same as the first. HCP means you do the first one, second one, third one, first one, second one, third one. I think that's the difference. I might have got those switched, but it's something like that. Yeah. So you can think of FCC as A, B, A, B, A, B, and the other one is A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C.
So the spheres go in the hollow spaces.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
What is the time?
That's good. Good thing to do.
Like, it looks like the same as this one, just
they're really shiny, too.
It doesn't,
it's just
yeah. I'll show you how to make them, though, if you want.
Putting on the third layer, you have two choices, right?
Yeah.
When you're putting on the fourth, then how many choices do you have?
Well, so there's always two choices.
It's always true.
It's always two at every layer.
Oh, because at C, you can either choose it to be like A or like B.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not uncountable, right? It is countable. It's countably infinite.
No. You can use a diagonal argument.
What is that?
You can also just think of binary.
Right. So you can you can use a counter diagonalization to do it because there's infinitely many words in A's, B's, and C's. Mm. Or uncountably infinitely many words in A's, B's, and C's.
Just like you can write any number in terms of a binary string.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's trinary.
Huh?
It's trinary. 0, 1, 2 in this case because you've got A, B, C.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if a trinary is it tertiary, not trinary. I made that word up. It's tertiary, right? I don't know. Maybe it's the one with three.
Yeah. I think tertiary is
more. Yeah. Okay, so did everybody sort of figure out this question with how many ways there are to put on the next layer of spheres? Yeah, maybe we should... So there's some letters and some words on the sheet that are maybe a little confusing that I think I want to just quickly define for you guys before you go back to working on the problems. So I think there's words HCP and FCC on there. So I'm just going to quickly tell you about what those mean. So some of you are doing this with pennies, and I'm going to just do this with pennies on the dot cam. So everyone started with a base layer that was a triangle packing, right? And then, as most of you probably figured out, for your next layer, suppose you started your next layer by putting a penny in this sort of space in your first packing, in your first layer, then, you know, the way the next layer is going to go is you're going to end up covering this space, and this space. But you're not going to cover like these ones over here, right? These ones sort of stay open in the second layer. So you put them in these spaces, but there's sort of some spaces that don't get covered up in the second layer if you do it this way. I'm going to put some more on because there we go. Then we can have more to see. So now when the time comes to put on the third layer, you have two choices, right? You could either put the third layer directly above your first layer, or you can sort of choose to cover the holes that weren't covered before, right? And at each layer, you sort of have a choice. You can either, you know, so let's call, suppose you call your first layer A, and there's your second layer B, then you can either do A again in your third layer. Don't throw them while I'm talking, please. Actually, don't throw them at all. I would rather you didn't. You can either put your third layer on A again, or you can put your third layer in the third position, which we can call C. So, I mean, I could draw something to represent that. But basically, we have three different kinds of layer, A, B, and C. And the only rule is you can't put the same kind of layer on top of itself. You can put a B layer or a C layer on top of an A layer, but you can't put another A layer on top of an A layer. So when you're stacking your layers, you know, you could choose either of the other two at any stage. So this thing I called FCC, what did I say that stands for? I don't know, but HCP is hexagonal close packing, and FCC must be it stands for something that I knew this morning, but I've forgotten by now. FCC means that you stack it like layer A, layer B, layer A, layer B, and HCP means you stack it like A, B, C, A, B, C. So those are the two packings that I'm referring to in the problems. So if you want to work on those problems about the FCC and the HCP, this stands for hexagonal close packing. Yeah, that's face something, right? Face-centered close packing or something. Yeah, face-centered. Face-centered cubic, that's right. Face-centered cubic, yeah.
What if I asked why the word cubic is in there?
Yeah. Anyway, so the two packings that are referred to in the problems are these two. So there's some questions about, you know, nearest neighbors and things in these two packings. So if you want to take a moment to think about those. And, you know, as always, feel free to come play with the toys. Yeah. Good. Try to answer the questions with them. Oh, and I should also say, like we said before, you know, these are not the only two kinds of packing, right? The FCC and the HCP. You could do, you know, a little bit of one, like do A, B, C, B, A, something like that. So there's a question that says, you know, try to answer this question for another packing. So come up with your own, you know, do this or do something just random with a string of A's, B's, and C's and try to work on that.
I'll try one day. I want to see if this will work.
So try to answer the problems on the sheet if you're up here, and if you're not trying to answer the problems on the sheet, let somebody else play with them.
Thank you.
Well, if you want, you can explain to me.
That would be a crystal. That would be more like a crystal lattice formation, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to say, but the crystal lattice forms into closest pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And oh, and you say, oh, and you say it's constrained by the number of valence electrons of the atoms.
Yeah, it's constrained by the.
Hey. How's it going? Have you had a chance to play with the oranges and stuff? Why don't you come join us over here? Here, there's room in the circle. So how many neighbors? Did you guys count how many neighbors they have? Here, you can join in. Did you guys count how many neighbors?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
Cool.
We're doing both ways.
Yeah. You can do it with the pennies too. Yeah, good. Give someone else a chance with the spheres.
So, if a kid asks, you know, what you can ask is how many people vote theoretically in general, which is
part. So, does the most nearest neighbors always equal higher density?
I think that's true. That seems like it should. I don't know. Certainly in 2 and 3 dimensions, it's known to be true. What's crazy, though, is that in some dimensions, so I was reading about this the other day, and I don't really know very much about higher dimensions than 2 and 3, but the densest packing in, like, 10 dimensions isn't even a lattice packing.
So what about if you're filling a if you have a fixed container that you're filling with something that's a regular shape with I guess it seems like the
sometimes the constraint of the container makes it difficult. Like I think in that box actually a square packing bottom layer is most efficient in that particular container
that's
brought.
What I was going to ask if square packing seems like it would be because when you're doing the drawing completely blank on the other. Every other, you know, you have fewer. If you did like ABA, every other layer is going to have fewer. But then also, I think your height of each layer goes down a little bit. So I didn't know how to calculate.
So I think
your loss from the height.
If the size of your container is large relative to the size of your sphere, the triangle packing is going to be densest. But if the size of your container is close to the size of your sphere, then something else might be better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't squeeze them, please. They're things I'm making, and I would prefer if you don't like actually harm them.
The number of dimensions minus one. Times the number of just a little figuring stuff out. Kind of some trends.
Good. Very good.
Have you been counting nearest neighbors?
Yeah.
Yeah. 12, right? Is it different for the two packings?
Yes. No, it's not.
No, it's the same, right? Yeah. So do you have a guess about what it would be for some other packing?
12.
12. It's always going to be 12. So do you have a reason why? Do you think you could prove it, though?
Maybe if you had more rubber bands.
Try to think about how you might prove it. And try to think about which layers each of the neighbors is in.
You'd have to consider
What else to put for sphere packing problems? Yeah.
We think it's 12, but we're not sure because...
Do you want to try it with the actual spheres?
Yeah.
You should definitely come and join. So maybe if you guys have figured it out, if you guys are still working on it, you should stay. But if you figured it out, maybe somebody else should get a chance. And there's the oranges as well. But yeah, you can come join the speed people.
Otis, do you remember the shape that would describe three on the bottom, six around?
You try to find the mistake in your face. Is that really it? So yeah, the theory doesn't change.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for coming. There's the oranges also, if you guys, I mean, you can come and move things around, yeah. So I guess I want to say one more thing before, and we can go back to doing what we're doing. But after, there's a third topic on your, can I just get your attention for one quick second? There's a third topic.
Everybody!
Yeah, can I get your attention for 1 second?
Because you're such great people.
Yeah, just the last time I'll open my mouth and then you can go back to working things out on your own. So you can keep doing these sphere packing problems. I think there's one problem on the second page that's related to sphere packing, but there's a third topic on the back page of your sheet that's called Apollonian packings, and I was, that was sort of an extra topic that I was going to get to if we had the chance, and you can start thinking about those also. But it starts with this question, of a construction, and there's straight edges and compasses around if you want to try the construction. But the basic idea is this, you have, I don't know if you can see this, it's a little light, but I drew three circles here, and the idea is we've been talking about sort of filling gaps in circle packings by stacking spheres, but there's another way to fill gaps. You can draw another smaller circle in the gap use it in a particular way. So one way to do it is to use a straight edge and compass, and there's some problems about exploring that but you'll notice that when you put a smaller circle in the gap, you get three more gaps. And so then, of course, the next natural thing to do is to draw three smaller circles. And that does get kind of difficult with a straight edge and compass. So there are some computer programs that you can use to sort of, do the constructions if you want to. But this third section on your sheet about Apollonian packings is about this stuff. So I would say feel free to keep playing with the spheres and trying to answer the sphere packing questions for the last 15 minutes. But if you want to talk about Apollonian packings and work on those problems, you can also sort of start working on that part of the sheet, and I'm happy to talk to you about that stuff too. So that's all I really have to say. I mean, if you want to hear more about that, I can also talk some more, but I think maybe you'd rather be playing with balls. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
So this is something you've done before. Yes.
I told you you're in.
Right. So I use it. Move people.
I think real. What is it?
Yeah. The issue is you're right. People need to put back in columns when they write the topics. They all put back in the rows, which is really messages for the accent. I think that if people were like designing this so that it makes sense, they would put in columns.
Thanks for coming.
Our word business.
Yes, that's cylindrical. In those coordinates, it's more of a way to
Here, let's do it with these.
Okay. Well,
I was
gonna make a line train, but okay.
So here, let's start with a base.
A phantic departure base.
That's okay. We can always put them back together. I would say don't mess with the threads too much. It's gonna destroy them. They're kind of delicate.
I'm just looking at the glitter.
That's very fine. Glittery. Yes, it is glittery.
Did you make them?
Yes. Awesome. They are the best regular spherical objects I could find in my house. So when you start just putting them in, and you get some layer, right? And so then when it comes time to make the third layer, you have two choices, right? And if you look up, you can sort of see, some of these gaps have a ball right below them, and some of them have a hole. So if you put it where there's a ball already below, you've sort of gone A, B, A. Yeah,
like,
here, come
that,
here, take
that.
These off and look down from the top. So there's a hole here and a hole here, right? But this one has a ball directly below it, and this one doesn't. So when I put this layer, I can either put it here or I can put it here. FCC is if you do A, B. So you put it the third layer in the same place as the first layer, and the fourth layer in the same place as the second layer.
Go like right here. If you built them up, that's the fourth layer.
Well, no, that's actually A, B, A, C. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the only way you can put it.
Well, I mean, it's not the only way. It is with this size base, but if you had a bigger base, there would be two ways.
So what would the third look like if you did ABC?
So if you did ABC, nope, leave that where it was.
No, the third.
The third layer, you look down and you see that there's a hole here instead of a ball directly below, right? So if instead you put it there,
and that's that would it.
A, B, C.
Oh, okay. It was asking about the third.
So this is HCP, the hexagonal centered, hexagonal close packing. Yeah. Yeah, how many nearest neighbor spheres? Yeah, so it's a little hard to see because none of them is completely surrounded, right?
Yeah.
But you can sort of try to figure it out anyway.
So if you want to know,
so yeah, if we're looking at like this one, right?
Yeah.
How many is it touching below it?
1, 2, 3.
Those three. Okay, so then if we look at the next layer, how many would be all around it? So you can only see those four.
But like you could extend it maybe over this way. And
so six.
Six.
Three on the bottom.
This one right here. Six, three on the bottom, and then how many would be on the top?
Six, three, and
it depends, yeah.
And then you can put one over here. Like that.
Oh, just three.
Mm-hmm.
3, 3, 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how many?
12. 12.
So for our C layer, where are our places where there's no balls? There's a ball here.
Here you have this parallelogram. That's a parallelogram.
So is it different?
Do all you do to make these balls is like put string over and over again across?
Yeah, I take a styrofoam ball. It's like a it's a 3-inch diameter, and then I take a whole spool of thread and I wrap it around. And then I tuck the ends in. And then the hardest part is marking. So then at that point, I put these guideline threads and these pins on to mark the symmetry group that I want.
Just one?
Yeah, I see this one.
Yeah, there's a couple here that aren't done. This one's not done, and this one's not done. And then
this one.
Yeah, and then I come up with the design and put the design on.
Yeah. That one, I think. That one and...
So, can you see...
There's three that aren't finished, and four that aren't finished, and one that's partially finished.
There's six holes,
right? Yeah.
But if we want to do the ABC one, we're only allowed to put a ball where you don't see a ball. Right.
Because it's, like, swirly.
Yeah, I use multicolored thread for that.
So it's the same number, right?
Yeah, I don't have time to do stuff like that.
But I got the design out of a math book.
So it's just like shifting, right?
There's a book called Making Mathematics with Needlework.
Oops.
And it's sequel called Crafting by Concepts. And that's where I found this pattern, this idea.
Yeah.
So it's in the math book.
Those three, right?
Yeah.
You already figured out that. So one way
to make a hollow inside. We just did that.
Yeah, what is around here? Or
what's the design?
Yeah.
That's the dual to a truncated cube. So
you said these are in a math book? Right?
Yeah.
Fractals?
Yeah. No, not fractals. They're not fractals. But so this one, so if you take the cubic pattern, so this is a truncated cube, right? Mm-hmm. So actually, here's a really good way to see it. If you took all so you can see the square, you took a cube, right? So six square faces and eight triangle faces. If you put a dot in the middle of each of the faces, each of the square faces and the triangle faces, the faces you'd get would be these rhombuses.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So you can see that like four come together at each triangle face. So this would sort of be at the center right here. Or I guess three come together at each triangle face and four come together at each square face. Yeah, that makes sense. Here's a square face and here's a triangle face.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And what's around? Or I mean, what are these made out of?
Styrofoam and thread.
Okay. It's beautiful. Which packing is it?
Wait, how did I do this? That?
We have to make sure we ask everybody to pick up all their stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Here. I think I got it. Okay.
Got it?
I did count the middle. Put the base around it.
For which bracket?
Mm-hmm. And then once you get the top part,
the volume density,
you take out the sides.
Ooh. Can you take out that side too?
I hope so. No.
So then you're making something kind of like a Sierpinski triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4/3 pi r cubed.
But you can't take out like the side bases, like the support beams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only problem. It'd be awesome if you could just like get a floating ball.
That's the volume.
Magic.
Well, kind of like air hockey. You could do it with air, maybe.
But this one, the only problem is if we can like make this triangle bigger, then you can like make it like huge, hollow, like hide something in there. It's like
Balls.
That's what we could do with like cannonballs. I can like remove the middle ones and then like hide stuff.
And height is 2.
So the ship still leaves.
We know that r is the radius, right? So if we were making a cube that had radius r.
I was wearing a hat.
What would its height? So if the radius was r, what would its like?
You said that if it was circular, it would fall off.
Yeah.
Not on my watch.
If the radius was 2?
Yeah.
So this would be r. So if the radius was r, then the diameter would be 2r.
Oh, thanks. You can just put them on the stage there. Can I take off this microphone yet?
What'd you say?
I said, can I take off the microphone yet?
I guess so.
I don't know.
Rage. We need, like, one more. Here, I'm going to replace one of these.
Now we can say silly things.
Like, the hairpin.